Today's reading is from Luke, chapter 19, verse 28 to 44. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' tell him, 'The Lord needs it.'" Those who were sent ahead went and found it, just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owners asked them, "Why are you untying the colt?" they replied, "The Lord needs it." They brought it to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voice for all the miracles they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept over it and said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in on every side. They would dash you to the ground, you and the children within your walls. They will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God's coming to you."
Well, good morning, everybody. Good to see you all. Would the children and young people like to come down to the front? Come and join me down here. Well, it's good to see you all this morning. Lovely to have you here. Hi, Lydia. Are you going to come? Well, I need your help, first of all, this morning. So I've hidden around the place a few things that we travel on, okay? So just stay here for a moment and I'll explain what we're going to do. There are things we can either travel on or travel in, and some of them are real, some of them are just toys. But I want you to go and see if you can find them for me, okay? But wait a minute, before you go, there's probably only enough, I think, for one each. So when you've found one, bring it back here. Don't ride them if they can be ridden. Just carry them back here and then come and sit down again, okay? Okay, go. Great. Okay, let's see what we've got. All kinds of things that you can travel on or in. We've got a skateboard, a train. Very small one. That's a Bluebell train from the Bluebell Railway, just down the road. That's great. There's a tractor, a bike, a car, a motorbike, a scooter, and a pushchair. Now, if you had to travel right now from here down into town, which one of those would you want to travel on? What would you travel on? Skateboard. Karis. The bike. Who else? Uma, what would you travel on? Or in? The bike. Iden would go on the bike. Well done, Iden. You'd go on the bike as well, would you? Yeah, what would you go on? The motorbike. Cool. Great. Robert, the car. You'd go in the car. Brilliant. Okay. Now, I've got some slides here. Have a look up at this screen of other things that people travel on or in. Now, who would travel in that? Oh. Yep. The king and queen. That's right. That's a royal carriage. So the king or queen. Ah, now this one. Who would travel in that one? Nathan. That's right. That's Lewis Hamilton's car. Well done. Next one. Oh, who would travel in that? Uma. People. Yeah. It's a bit flash, isn't it? Maybe someone like a pop star or an actor or a billionaire. Yeah, someone like that. What about the next one? Who drives one of those? Police. That's right, Iden. That's the noise it makes. Well done. Police. Okay. What about the next one? Who rides on one of those? It's a donkey. Who would ride on one of those? Oh, Mary did, didn't she, with Joseph? Yeah, that's right. Nathan? Jesus. Yeah, Jesus rode on a donkey. That's right, and that's what we're going to learn about today. Today is called Palm Sunday. Okay, and this is the first day of the week in which Jesus died on the cross. Okay, but we're told on this day, on Palm Sunday, he came to Jerusalem. He entered Jerusalem, the capital city of Israel. And he did so on a donkey. He rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. And it all happened like this. Now we're going to act this out. So you go down. No. Okay, you stay here. Okay. Robert, you come over here. And Robert, I want you to be Jesus. So you stand there. And we're all going to be, well, you're all going to be disciples. So you come and stand behind Robert. Okay, Robert, stand forward a little bit more. Everyone else, come on, Nathan. Come and stand behind Robert, that's it. Caris, are you going to stand there as well?
Mia.
Yeah, go on. You're going to watch? Okay, all right. Anuma's going to watch as well. Okay, so we've got a little bit of drama now to help us understand the story. Now, it all happened like this. Jesus, Robert, was approaching a village near Jerusalem. The village was called Bethany. And Jesus said to two of his disciples,
"Go into the village and you will find a donkey, untie it. If anyone asks you why you are untying it, say the Lord needs it."
So, the two disciples went into the village. Michael's going to be one disciple. You take another one of the disciples with you, Michael. Well done. And they found the donkey. And they untied it. And its owners asked them why they were untying the donkey. So they said, "The Lord needs it." Well done. And then the owners let them take the donkey. So here they come with the donkey. We had to search high and low to find a real donkey to bring this morning. Great. Okay. Stop there then, donkey. Okay, and then they brought the donkey to Jesus. They threw their cloaks on the donkey. That's it. And put Jesus onto the donkey. There we go. Right. So Jesus is on the donkey. And we're going to pause there. Okay. We're going to pause there. Brilliant. Okay. Now then, this story about the disciples going and getting the donkey tells us something very important. It tells us that Jesus was in complete control because he knew exactly what was going to happen, didn't he? Jesus knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew where to look to find the donkey and he knew what to say to the owner, didn't he, when they found the donkey. Everything happened just as he said it would happen because he was in complete control. And that's just really important for us to realize that this week, Easter week, everything happened just as Jesus knew it would. Nothing came as a surprise to him, even his death on the cross. He was in control of everything. It was all part of God's plan. But we ought to be asking ourselves a question. If Jesus was in control of everything, why did he choose to ride on a donkey? He'd just walked a really long way to get here. He'd walked all the way from Jericho. He was nearly there. He was nearly in Jerusalem. So why didn't he just carry on walking the last little bit of the way? Why did he get on a donkey? Well, we're going to find out the answer in just a minute.
So we left the story with Jesus on the donkey, and he's about to go into Jerusalem. Now, what do you think happened next? Should we find out what happened next? So, we need to go into Jerusalem, and since we're all the disciples, we need to follow Jesus into Jerusalem. Okay? So let's go. We need to follow the donkey. Oh, come on, come on.
Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord.
Go for kettle.
Peace in heaven, glory in the highest. Hosanna.
And they came all the way to Jerusalem, over here. So, we saw Jesus going into Jerusalem. And then what happened next? They waved leaves around, yes. And they shouted. Did you hear what they shouted? Robert?
Hosanna.
Hosanna. That's a word that, an old word that means save. Save us. So as Jesus and his disciples were going into Jerusalem, all the people around started shouting and waving palm branches and throwing their cloaks on the floor in front of Jesus. And they shouted, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So they shouted that Jesus was the King sent from God. And these words were really important. They didn't just think them up on the spot. No, these words were used for a reason. They came from one of the Psalms, written hundreds of years beforehand, which was all about how God would rescue his people and send someone to look after them. So when they shouted these verses out, they knew that Jesus was God's rescuing King, the promised Christ. So this is a sign to us. It points us to who Jesus is. It shows us that he's the King. But that wasn't the only sign. We heard earlier how Jesus was riding on a donkey. And we asked the question, why a donkey? Well, one answer is that skateboards hadn't been invented yet. But the main reason is because it shows us who Jesus is. See, around 500 years before Jesus was even born, the prophet Zechariah said this to God's people. "Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king is coming, riding on a donkey. Righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey. On a colt, the foal of a donkey." So you see, Jesus riding the donkey into Jerusalem, this was another sign that he was God's king. So Jesus rode the donkey so that the people then, and us now, we'd know who he is, that he's the king. So the people saw Jesus coming, fulfilling the prophecy, and they knew that he'd come to save them. They knew that he was God's king, sent to rescue them. But they didn't understand what that meant. They didn't know exactly what Jesus had come to do. They thought he'd be a great warrior king, come to rescue them from their enemies. But instead, he was a humble servant king, come to die in their place, to take the punishment that they deserve. He came to rescue them and us from the worst thing imaginable, being enemies with God. And he did that a week later, dying on the cross. Well, in a moment, Martin's going to explain what that means to us.
Brilliant. So we've just seen that the disciples were delighted when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, didn't we? They praised God because the king had come. Their rescuer was here. And they shouted out, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." They were really happy. The disciples were really happy that Jesus had come to Jerusalem on a donkey. Their king was here. But not everyone was happy. Not everyone was quite so pleased. Some people called the Pharisees came up to Jesus. Now, the Pharisees were some of the people who were in charge in Jerusalem. And they asked Jesus to tell his disciples off and to tell them to be quiet because they didn't think that Jesus really was God's king. Now, who was right? Was it the disciples or the Pharisees? The disciples thought that Jesus was God's king. The Pharisees didn't. Who was right, do you think? Who do you think?
Disciples.
So what do you think, Nathan? Yeah, the disciples, that's right. It was the disciples. And we know they were right because Jesus says so. Now, he says that even if the disciples did keep quiet, even if they didn't say a word about him, then even then, the stones that were lying around them, they would praise God for Jesus. They would shout out. Now, I've got here three big stones. Now, has anyone ever heard a stone talking? Has anyone ever heard a stone shouting? No? No, nor have I. Nor have I, actually. But I thought we'd just give them a chance this morning, see if they've got anything to say to us. Now, let's see. Have you got anything to say to us this morning, stones? No. No. Nothing. Nothing at all? No. They haven't got anything to say to us because stones don't normally talk, do they? They don't normally speak. But Jesus said that if no one in the whole world sang his praises, if no one praised God for Jesus, then even then the stones that are all around us, they would shout out and praise God for Jesus. Well, what does he mean by that? What does Jesus mean? Well, basically, he means that the disciples were right. We're right to praise God because he really is God's King. Jesus really is our King and Rescuer. And it's right that we praise him and that we thank God for him. And he says that it's tragic when we don't do that. In fact, we're told that Jesus wept for those who didn't believe in him. Let's have this next verse that was on the in the passage. Luke says, as he, that's Jesus, approached Jerusalem, he saw the city, and saw the city, he wept over it. So as Jesus approached Jerusalem, he wept. He knew that if we refuse to accept him as God's rescuing king, then we bring ourselves under God's judgment. And he wept as he spoke about the judgment that was to come upon Jerusalem, because the people there didn't believe that he was God's king. Now he wept as he told them that the whole city would be destroyed. And you know, it all happened just as Jesus said it would at the hands of the Romans in AD 70. See, the thought of God's judgment was very painful for Jesus. And it should be that we can never talk about God's judgment either without feeling very sad about it. But you know, at other times, Jesus also said that there'll be a day when God's judgment would come not just on Jerusalem, but upon the whole world. And that will be a terrible day for all who have refused to accept him as God's rescuing king. And we know that day will happen because everything else that Jesus said would happen did happen and has happened just as he said it would. Well, so what should we do then? Well, firstly, we should praise God for Jesus because he is God's rescuing king. He's made it possible for us to be safe on that day of judgment through his death on the cross. And so we should praise God for him and we should follow him as our king, which means trusting him and obeying him. But there's something else we should do as well. And that's to tell others about Jesus who haven't yet heard about him. And we should urge them to follow him too as their rescuing king. So as we end, I'm going to say a prayer. I'm going to ask God to help us to do both of those things. So let's pray. Okay, let's pray. Loving Father, please help us to live with Jesus as our rescuing king. And please help us to tell other people about him so that they too might live with him as their rescuing king. We ask it in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.